We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll finish up chapter 4 and get into chapter 5. And Paul is being a little hard on the Corinthians as we go through this book. And he's bold in the Lord. And he's basically chastising the Corinthian church. And in chapter 4, he's pointed out how the Corinth church is puffed up in pride, and how they consider themselves rich and even reign as kings. But conversely, they look upon the apostles as offscouring. Now, there's a word you don't hear too often, offscouring, or having the character of homeless persons. Offscouring. Well, it's that filthy ring around your bathtub after somebody dirty has just bathed. And that's what they consider. Paul has described himself and the other apostles as the undesirables of their society. Today we sort of look upon the homeless as the undesirable of our society. And sometimes we want to say, hey, get a job, you know, be all puffed up in pride like the Corinthians. But in verses 15 and 16 of chapter 4, Paul, he reminds the Corinthians, you have many instructors, for some said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas. But Paul says, I am your father in Christ. I led you into salvation. I am your father. Then Paul will challenge the Corinthians. So I urge you, Corinthians, he said, to imitate me. I shy away from that. I say, be like Paul. I don't consider myself that shining example. But can you imagine, here the Corinthians are told by Paul, imitate me. Imitate Paul. But Paul, we look upon you as a fool. We look upon you as homeless, poorly clothed, often hungry, and you work with your hands, which was a lowly type way to make a living there in Corinth, work with your hands. Yet you say to us, distinguished Corinthians, imitate me. And he says, you need to imitate me. Watch me, look at me, for the power of God rests upon me. And we can't tell by outward looks who has or who does not have the power of God resting upon them. Yet many of the Corinthians, they disdained the great apostle Paul because of his very humble appearance. And he says, because of my limited authority as an apostle, I send you Timothy. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 4, 17 through 21. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly. If the Lord wills, and I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod, or in love, or in a spirit of gentleness? And Paul is, he's chastising him. Do you want me to come as a tyrant, teaching you the ways of the Lord? Timothy is much younger than Paul, and he's Paul's troubleshooter. And Timothy would often be sent to churches that were having doctrine problems. But Paul doesn't back away from his authority. Timothy will testify of Paul's proper teaching of the gospel and of doctrine. In Paul in verse 18, some of you Corinthians are conceited or puffed up, acting as though I will not come to your church. Paul is away from Corinth, but he's hearing bad reports about Corinth. And Paul assures him, I will come to you shortly, and I will come in the power of God. For God's kingdom is not only words, but it's God's power. Aren't you glad of that? We don't have to read and hope. We read and see. God's church has power. Some of the Corinthians mistake Paul, and they think Paul's going to shy away, perhaps, from visiting them because they are told to imitate Paul. But it's hard to imitate someone you look down upon. But Paul realizes this, and he assures them of his authority. Shall I come to you with a rod of correction, or shall I come to you in love with the spirit of gentleness? Now, Paul's anything but shy. Paul was not a timid man. Many people believe Paul had a complex about being bold for Jesus, but he was bold towards the Corinthians. And whenever Paul went on a missionary journey, one of two things happened. You either had a revival breakout or you had riots breakout. There was no middle ground for Paul. John Mark, whom Barnabas wanted to give another chance to go on a mission trip with Paul, and Mark had deserted Barnabas and Paul, and Paul is firmly against John Mark joining them on a missionary trip. And the division between Barnabas and Paul, it is so severe that they split up. Here's two apostles, and they split up. Barnabas, he will take John Mark, and Paul will take Silas, and now you have two missionary teams going out. Paul held himself to a higher standard, I think, than most of us dare to hold ourselves. But he is an apostle, not by the will of man, but by the will of God. Peter, whom we consider to be the ringleader of the disciples, does not escape Paul's scrutiny. For in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through 21, we read where Paul chastises Peter. Let me read it to you. Galatians 2, 11 through 21. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, Paul speaking, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, or the Jews. And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. But when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature are not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? And then he says, certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. But we know he didn't. Verse 11 there, Paul declares, I withstood Peter to his face. Now, Peter was supposedly a big, burly guy. He demanded attention just because of his physical stature. Paul, short, bow-legged, runny eyes. He was not a specimen that we looked up to. And he says, I withstood Peter to his face. For Peter was being hypocritical in his eating habits. Peter was a Jew, and when the Jews were around, he would eat with the Jews. When the Jews weren't around, he would eat with the Gentiles. And Peter thought that the law was interchangeable. And he says, I tried to live for God, but Paul plainly points out, you're being a hypocrite, Peter. And Paul continues, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Aren't we glad of that? My goodness, I would have never chose me. But thank God, God saw in me someone who needed salvation. Peter, he was starting to drift back into his Jewish upbringing, his Jewish roots. And Peter, when the Jews were around, he was in fear of the Jews. Wow. Peter? Yeah, Peter. And Peter, Paul tells him, we're free from the law by faith in Christ. Don't go back under the Mosaic law, Peter. Well, how does that relate to us to today? How we are raised as a child, how we're brought up, can have strong ties on how we seek the Lord and how we find a place of worship. Many times it's how we were raised. Or it can be the other way. How we were raised can be questionable to us as we grow in the Lord and we can go away from how we were raised. Myself, I was raised in a Pentecostal church background. And I had to sort through what I saw and heard. Many professed to be of God, but I looked upon it as being of man. And Paul, he relies upon Timothy. He calls for Timothy. And Timothy is his young helper in the early church who was solid in the faith. Timothy is to be commended. Now Paul, he will continue with the Corinthians and he will talk to them about unacceptable behavior that is right there in their church. And that's in 1 Corinthians 5:1-8. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up, and you have not mourned, that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I indeed am absent in body, but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus, When you were gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be new lump, since you truly are unleavened, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And leaven is referred to as sinful. Paul, he receives word, and he's shocked. He's taken back by what the Corinthian church tolerate as a body of believers. Now, Christians, we get bad press. The news media doesn't like true Christians too much. And what Paul hears, it alarms him. The Corinthians are so liberal in their tolerance of sin that Paul is dumbfounded. He's going, what is going on? So I ask, what would Paul think of today's belief system that is so liberal? Many Christian churches are very liberal in their preaching and teaching. It's reported that a poll taken, only half of born-again Christians believe God's word is completely true. Time out. What do you go by? Who made you judge and jury over the word of God? The Corinthians are very liberal, and it dumbfounds Paul. I think Paul would be upset if he were to visit many Christian churches of today. There were once fundamental believers who are now actually voting in many churches upon ordaining homosexual pastors. Now, I'm not gay bashing, but when you invite a sinful man to be your leader, you're in trouble. Some of those who vote ask, who are we to condemn a lifestyle that our government quickly accepts and passes laws to protect? The gay population, the transgender population, have legislators that we elected that make hate crimes to be against gays or transgender groups. It's a hate crime if you're against these groups. Now, I've been confronted by those who believe the gay lifestyle is acceptable. If you live in today's world, you've been confronted too. Many of us are forced to accept the gay lifestyle as normal. And we're told to not look upon the gay or the LGBTQ as sinful. But it's a tearing down of the families is what that sinful behavior is. God's word tells us the gay lifestyle and is sinful and is perverted. That's what God says. But Paul, he cites a man, not a gay man, but he cites a man who's caught up living with his father's wife, adultery. And he's still a part of the Corinthian church. This open adultery that the Corinthians accept because they don't want to cause waves. They don't want to be considered bias in their thinking, and they tolerate adulterous behavior right in their fellowship. They're proud of their open-minded attitude concerning sexual sin. So hear me out on this sinful sexual matter. I do my best to hold a standard against any sexual sin, the gay lifestyle or adultery. If it's being committed, I'm appalled by it. But there at Corinth, adultery is being accepted, and the Corinth church is proud of their tolerance. Christian behavior dictates that we call sexual sin what it is, sin. It's that simple. Whether it's committed by a person in the gay lifestyle or an adulterous person, sin is sin. And Paul, he gives instructions to the Corinth church. Deliver such a one over to Satan. Give him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Give him over that this sinful man may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. In other words, Paul wants to see repentance there of this sinful behavior. And this is a principle that Paul's trying to tell the Corinthians about. We are not to be accepting of sexual sin. We're rather to be held accountable to confront sexual sin. Paul goes on to say, "You glorify yourself in your thinking by allowing sin to go unconfronted in your own church." Now, we all are social creatures, but we're called as Christians to be light and to be salt in our society. Today, unfortunately, church growth can and is the measure of success. If you're a successful church, you're a big church with all these programs. That doesn't apply here. But Paul, by the Holy Spirit, he wants to know, are you holy before God? Or are you just going with the flow? Recently, we had a church board meeting here. Yeah, we have a church board. And the question came up about me as a pastor, if I was found in sin, what should the board do? Ignore it. No, I didn't say that. I said, if I'm found in sin, in particular, if I'm found in sexual sin, remove me. Get rid of me. For I've gone against God's word. I may not be much, but what I believe, I believe. And there are Christian churches in our community that turn their attention away from discipline or correcting of the pastor. Many churches, many denominations, if the pastor's caught in sexual sin, they transfer him, move him away to a different area. No discipline there. And that is especially true if he's popular. But let a church be one of purity from the top down. We all are held accountable. It is our responsibility to uphold God's standard, and that begins right here to all of us. So my prayer is, Lord Jesus, don't allow malice, don't allow wickedness to creep into our mindset as a body of believers. Let us be true to our Lord, true to his standard. For he says, be holy, for I am holy. Holiness is not bad. Holiness is good. Do I consider myself holy? At times. But not most of the time. Most of the time, I look upon myself as a man with many problems, many shortcomings, and I pray for the Lord to help me all the time. So let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. But we're called to be accountable. Let's be accountable. Father God, how the church needs to read this letter to the Corinthians, and how Paul, through the apostolic authority, says, put him out. Don't have anything to do with this man that's living in sin. And Lord, we, your people, need to be salt and light in our society, because if we're not salt and light, who will be? We are to hold a standard, your standard, up, Lord, before the world to see. Let us be about you and your kingdom. And Lord, let us be quick to repent of sin, quick to move to you, to fall under your grace. And Lord, we would pray, as you told us to pray, keep sin, keep temptation away from our door, Lord. For when we are tempted, many times we fall. So keep us away from that temptation that so easily entangles us, Lord. Keep us pure before you. Let us be a church that upholds your standard before the world to see. We pray for this and ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.